Would you bow your head in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much to be here, to be able to discuss the Word of God, the King James Bible, without persecution. We thank you so much for putting it in English for us so we can take it into the world. We just thank you to the grace that you have on such a sinful people and the mercy that you've shown on us. And we just thank you for the love and the joy and the peace and the ambassadorship and the privilege to serve you in this life. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And it is a privilege, because you ought to be going to hell just like me. You ever look at yourself that way? I look back, and I'm sure y'all guys do too. So in time, you can see yourself sitting in a bar or sitting doing something really just horrible and on your way to hell. But you know, you ain't got to be sitting in no bar to go see yourself going into hell. You can just sitting on the side of a riverbank somewhere, fishing, casually, and mind tells you, guess who put it there? The Holy Spirit was trying to convince you of your need for a Savior, right? You can be sitting out there and enjoying yourself, playing ball or bowling, whatever. You still know yourself. You ain't got to be in no bar like I brought that up, like I was. So, we all have a need for a Savior. Today, I'm going to do something that it's, I'm sure I've done it here before, but it never, if it has, it's been a long time. But what's so good about Romans 3, Philemon, I was noticing it again. I mentioned this about 6 months ago. When I hold up my little Bible, Romans 3, Philemon used to be about that wide, you know? And as you gradually learn and you use the Scriptures, it starts coming together. I'm talking about it. It gets so small, the distance between the first page of Romans and the last page of Philemon there. It just is like nothing there hardly anymore. And that means you have absorbed, you have trusted, you've learned what the Scriptures have been saying. And it's just a great thing. And whether you know this, and Trish found out this the other night. As I mentioned earlier, she was witnessing to this individual over the phone. And all of a sudden, she was recalling it. She said, I didn't know that I knew so much about the Scripture. But yet still, she said, I don't know that much. But now, just think, we sit in this class here, in this assembly, we might not think we know a lot. But now when you start going out there and telling people about rightly dividing, tell them about your Savior, tell them about the Gospels, you realize all of a sudden, my gosh, there's so much out here. Where do I begin to talk and witness to someone? I've had that problem. Anybody had that problem? You'll find out, golly, at the amount of information that you know. But I want you to turn over to Galatians, if you would, chapter 2. If you remember, the Jewish leaders had sent somebody to spy on Paul. Certain men came down from Judea, remember? And then when Paul left an area, these people would come behind him and tell the converts they still had to do something to be saved. You got to be circumcised. You got to keep the law. So let me get over there myself. Galatians chapter 2. Paul fed up with it. And so he makes a trip over to Jerusalem. And in verse 1 of Galatians chapter 2, he says, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me. And he said in verse 6, but of these who seem to be of somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter. Whosoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepted no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. So, as you can see, but contrarywise in verse 7, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcised, the key word here, of course, is the gospel, but it's of the uncircumcision. That's what my Bible says. If yours says something other than of, then you've got the wrong book. Of uncircumcision was committed unto me. So that right there told us there is a gospel committed unto Paul, and it's the gospel of the uncircumcision, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. So we know now that the gospel that Peter taught was the gospel of what? The circumcision. You can't make the new versions change that. But we'll get to that. And I want, and in verse 8, for he that wrought effectually in Peter in the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Now, I want you to see in verse 9 that the position of names have changed. As you remember, in Act, and I'm just going to tell you this, in Acts chapter 9, Barnabas took Saul to Jerusalem. It was Barnabas and Saul that was separated in Acts 13, too. Because names mean something in the precedence that they're put out there. Now, if you'll see in verse 9, and when James, mentioned first, Cephas, which was Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, Paul, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. Paul put his name first, me, that we should go into the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Now, James, as you remember in Acts chapter 15, is the individual Paul went and talked to, and he says, look, you know, Peter stood up in Acts 15 and says, you know, why would we want to put these people that Paul is preaching to under something that our forefathers couldn't even keep? So James says, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to write this decree and you're going to take it back with Silas and a few others. And he said, look, abstain from fornication. And there's three other things. Ordinances, I call them. And so right here, we see the first time two gospels are mentioned about being preached, okay? And one was by Paul, the gospel of the circumcision, which at this point in time, it was the gospel of Christ. What did I say? I said it wrong. Gospel of the uncircumcision. Thank you, Joe. And, of course, Peter was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the circumcision. That's what's taking place. Two different groups of people. Two different Gospels, but if you go anywhere other than outside this King James, you're going to see that's one Gospel. That's why they can preach it to everybody. And it was the Gospel of Christ. Now, what we want to do is, since there's really two Gospels preached here, two different groups being taught, not the same Gospel. So Paul was sent to preach to who? The Jew, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Those Greeks, as we know, are in the covenants of promise, and I'm going to show you that right this moment. I've got a lot to go over, and I hope I make it. Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead on the third day for your justification. And I hate I did that. Gosh. Yeah, I'm going to have to leave it. We'll make that short. This is going to be presented just a little different than what you've seen before. We know that there is a dispensation that Paul had to preach. He said, if I do it willingly, I have a reward. But he said, if I do it unwillingly, the dispensation of the grace of God is applied against me. So, I mean, we know that. He was going to do it one way or the other. But you know, God, through his foreknowledge, he saw Paul do it willingly. Now, so I'm going to call this the dispensation of grace. Now, two different gospels. So what I want to do, I want to show you the mystery. This was a mystery, right? The dispensation of grace. But there's another mystery here that started right here. What's that? The church. The body of Christ. started, Paul was the first individual saved into the body. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, he says, I'm the first, I'm the pattern. So we know he was the first into the body. Now, I'm going to make that a little bit more extreme. We draw this a lot, but we don't draw the brackets. But the brackets are very, very important. Paul started out preaching something. What was that? Gospel of God. Paul started preaching the gospel of God in Acts chapter 9, verse 19, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That's the gospel of God. Then, in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, Barnabas and Saul were separated for the journey that they were supposed to take by the Holy Spirit. What happened at that point in time? I'll put right here, this legend. Y'all can see that. Gospel of God. Then, Paul started preaching the gospel of Christ. No doubt about it. Now, so everything was fine. So we can see what that is without me having to label it. Now, Paul also taught in the synagogues, right? And he taught to people that would not believe, but he was after a remnant of grace. So there's people in here now Paul talked to, the majority of them, non-believers. But he taught them. We still have them today. Still got all those non-believers. All the way up from the Apostle Paul, all the preachers, teachers, and everyone who's preached the gospel, you still got these unbelievers in you. Are you an unbeliever? Well, if you are, you're in this black here. Black, dark, darkness, doomed, damn, headed to hell. But, let me get me another color here. Then, excuse the purple. I bought these specifically to illustrate this. There was something in here that was keeping people like you and me from being into the body of Christ. It's called the middle wall of partition. You could go back if you wanted to, and you could look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 13. Find out you were strangers from the covenants of promise, right? Aliens. And you were without God and without hope in the world. That's you. That's me. That was the Philippians. That was the Colossians. That was the Ephesians. So, yes. Mm-hmm. So Paul taught that until he became a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Then, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, something happened. This middle wall, this purple here, purple, middle wall, partition. Everybody knows what a partition is. We could put up a partition right down the middle of this. You wouldn't see them and they wouldn't see you. So it's a separator. So when these ordinances that were nailed to the cross here in A.D. 33, and all sins and all ordinances, and we know that because Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 tells you that all ordinances was nailed to the cross. here. But you know, God chose, through the Lord Jesus Christ, not to reveal that message when it happened. He waited until He sent that 13th apostle with a new message, the new gospel, and He made him a prisoner in Rome. He is a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And for you Gentiles, He removed this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. That middle wall came aft, and it let scumbags like us, me, you, and everybody else. And scumbag is a nice word compared to what you really are. Then it opened up that body of Christ right here. And ever since Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, we all, through the fall of Israel, we all came under the same gospel. It's the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. I'm going to put that up here. Gospel of grace of God. I didn't have to put of God because this gospel is of God. It's the gospel of grace. But I call it the gospel of the grace of God, as the Bible said in Acts chapter 20, 24. What?
What verse was that? What chapter?
Acts 20, 24. Now, you saw I left a little white space in here, right? There's some people that need to fill that up. There's some lost people out here in this room and outside here, walking down the halls, walking all over the world, that haven't been saved. They're still in darkness. They're still in the black. They may be good people as we know them, but they're lost. Where is their future eternity? God, that's a bad place to go. Why would we want anybody to go? So why don't we tell our worst enemy the salvation plan? Give it to them at least twice, and then they're on their own. That's what it says in Titus 3. They're heretics. They won't listen. They want to work themselves there somehow. They don't realize that they're called self-righteous people. There's none good, no, not one. Actually, it says, there's none good. Yes. But you can see here now, we got the gospel of the grace of God, where we're at. That middle wall has come out. I'm going to just show you where it was at. It was done at the cross, but wasn't revealed to anyone until the Apostle Paul.
You're not saying that the purple and the green are different gospels. You're just saying that the purple is the
way. Yeah, the purple is not a gospel.
Right.
It's the ordinances. I call it the middle wall of partition. It's those ordinances that kept me and you out. And the reason being, this side is the gospel of Christ that Paul was preaching. This side is the sorry bunch who are idol worshippers. There's a middle wall in here called ordinances. Fornication is one of them. And there's three of the restrainment of blood. Don't eat anything with blood in it and all that kind of good stuff. There was four of them. So in this purple here represents that middle wall that kept this side from associating with this side in the same body. Because you guys had been abstaining from pork, any unclean animal. And this side, how can you have friendship, communion with somebody over here that's going to eat that oyster, you're going to eat that catfish with those scales, you're going to eat that pork and everything else, and you over here, you can't do it because that's what you were in the covenants of promise and you weren't supposed to do it. You cannot have fellowship when you're divided, and that's what it is. You had one thing on your mind, and this one over here, you knew this wasn't right. And then all of a sudden, Paul came on the scene. The risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who told Paul and gave him this message that I'm removing those ordinances because my son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross and it was removed then, but I just find it now is the time to reveal it unto you. Israel had to totally fall. The remnant that is spoken of, and I believe it's in Romans 11, 7. Let me look. Let me look.
It goes back to God's plan.
It is God's plan, His purpose. It's His heavenly purpose in verse 5 of Romans 11. Even so then at this present time, that's not today, that was then. Also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Paul was sent out to get that remnant, and he was sent out with the gospel of the uncircumcision, the gospel of Christ, right here in this red. He preached and he got the remnant. That's what that section is. That everybody in there was in that remnant. Yes?
But from the beginning, from the red until the end, that's... Did you call that the church?
All of this.
All of it.
With the exception... I got to make an exception, and I got to figure out how to way to draw it up here. But I'm glad you asked it. This gospel of color, whatever color that is, gold looking, that those people are not in the body. So I can now take this out.
But the body of Christ in the church.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. But anyway, let's get back to this. It was all pertaining to each other. But I want you to see now, he was saved right here at Acts 9. Saul. But he did not preach any salvation. None. We've got the gospel of God here that he started preaching with. He was the first one, first person, first human. Jesus Christ was the first into the body because he's the head. But he was the first, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:16, he said, I'm the first and I'm the pattern. So we know Paul was placed into the body. And then
Acts 9.
And we know that in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, that he went on his missionary journey, his first one. And he started preaching the gospel of Christ. That Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead for your justification. At the same time, down here, Peter, James, and John and the 12 were preaching, and that stopped. They were preaching the gospel of the circumcision. Simultaneously with him preaching the gospel of the uncircumcision. Up until this point. Acts 28:28.
But not to the same people.
But that's why I drew it separately. But not to the same people.
Philippians 4:15 says, but you Philippians know also that in the beginning was the gospel.
That's what I was looking for.
That departed from us to change. No church communicated with me from trying to get
inside. Okay. Philippians, which one now?
4:15.
Okay, let me get up here to it. And this is a true fact. Now, you Philippians, he just read it, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed, I told you it was at Macedonia. When he departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only.
Nobody supported it.
In Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. There was a little bit more that I wanted to read into that. I just can't do it right this minute. But that's the exact scripture that I was looking for. From the beginning of the gospel. Now, we're talking, this is a prison epistle here. We ain't talking that's the gospel of Christ. We're talking that's the gospel of the grace of God. From the beginning of it, when he departed, when he told those Ephesians over in Acts, when he told them, let me get over here, Acts. Wow. Let's see, in Acts 19, I believe. No, Acts 18. Look at Acts 18. Start in verse 18. Acts 18, 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. Listen, now this is when the first time he came into Ephesus. Well, this is not talking to the Ephesians. This is Ephesus. He came to the synagogue, not to the Gentiles. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. He's talking about leaving Priscilla and Aquila. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer with them, he consented not. You know, they loved him. They wanted him to stay there. But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. He was a Jew. He was going to keep a feast. But I will return again unto you, if God will, and he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. So he went up and saluted the church, and he got out of there. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went all over the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the apostles. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. So forth. Let me come on down. It's going to be going to... It's going to be going to Acts 19 now. Let me see. I'm going to start here in verse 4 of 19, and I'll get to where I want to go. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. That's talking about John the Baptist. Was a six-month precursor to Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. He's still working signs and miracles. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way. What is that way? That's what Paul is now teaching. That way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So you know he's only talking to the people in the covenants of promise. It's specified Jews and Greeks. The gospel of Christ here. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And you can't do that today. Now, let me keep on coming, because I hadn't gotten to where I wanted to go. He said in verse 21, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he went into Macedonia, two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way, for a certain man named, but that ain't where I want to go for you, Well, that keeps on that. That ain't where I want to go either. Eucharist. He said in verse 22 of 20, he said, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. I actually missed the point yet, but everything we read, of course, was true and scriptural. It eluded me. But I want to get back to this specifically. If I want to answer some questions, if there's anything unclear. Again, I will say this. There was a gospel being preached called the Gospel of the Circumcision by Peter, James, and John. Simultaneously with the Gospel of the Uncircumcision, the Gospel of Christ. Simultaneously. And it ended at the end of Acts 28:28. The transition period did between the two Gospels. That's when that middle wall was taken out of the way. He was preaching the Gospel of Christ to pick up the remnant of Romans 11:5. And then it was opened up to everybody. Yes, you've got more people in this dispensation, and that's why I wanted to draw it up. I wanted you to see, but the only thing we've ever drawn up before is just the church. You've got to see that there's lost people in here that has been preached to, and there's lost people that has never been preached to. They've been preached to, but they've never heard the gospel. But why? The gospel has never been presented to them. They've heard a false gospel. So, whenever they die and they've heard a false gospel, can you hold them accountable for it? Can God hold them accountable for not hearing the gospel?
Absolutely.
Because He gave them a book with it in it, didn't He?
So your diagram's a little long. The little green and red circle got to be a lot smaller. There's a whole lot more.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it has. I agree with that. My cousin asked me yesterday, hey, do you think there's a lot of people saved? He was telling me about all these revivals in the past. I said, no. Oh, yes, there's just going to be millions. Well, it may be millions, but it's a small amount of the billions that's ever lived. But I left some little white space. I wanted you to see the black, because that's people who have been preached to or who haven't been preached to. The middle wall was taken out, so you and I could be. Have a chance to trust.
The picture is pretty. The bigger green.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, it is. But there's some over here and that I shouldn't have left. I better color that in.
The thing that trips up so many people, it's not knowledge, it's trust.
Yeah, you can have all kind of knowledge. Still go to hell. I hate that, but that's just the way it is. I didn't say it does.
And when you truly trust, you give up your ego because it's no longer me.
You've got to humble yourself,
yeah,
as Jesus Christ did.
There's a lot of people that are still being taught falsely, you know, about this, the gospel of God.
The majority of the people.
Yeah.
Performance is all about ego. I'm better than you.
Your works,
yeah,
can't get you anywhere, but that's what's being taught.
I had a guy argue with me. He was going to tell me, if I don't repent, I'm humble in hell. I say, I don't have to repent no more. He said, man, you can't tell me you're going to have to repent. I said, yeah, I don't have to repent no more. I don't have to repent.
Well, let's look at that word real quick, George.
Two meanings.
Mm-hmm. Repent, in a lot of people's mind, means confession.
Confession.
Yes.
Change.
That ain't what we're talking about. I've repented from the gospel that I used to so-called believe. I've changed my mind. That's what repent really, whether I want to use it as. Repentance. Change of mind. Now, the Savior is what I'm trusting in. What?
The other meaning of is why I feel sorry. Oh, what I have.
Yeah.
Remorse. That's what the Spanish thing.
Right.
Yeah, I don't have to feel sorry.
You've got to feel sorry.
That means change your mind, not feelings.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's, and I think Joe did this one time in here. He never finished, but he started. But was it your fault? The fact was, he went over word meanings, which is a good thing to do. Just like baptism. Identification. You know, there's water baptism. There's spiritual baptism by the Holy Spirit. There's more. It's an identification. So, you really got to pay attention. Now, I was thinking about this when I was shaving this morning. I said, you know, I've got the Word of God written in the King James Bible. It's written in English. Every time I hear somebody bring up the Greek and the Hebrew, Richard's a verse. You know, you could speak Greek fluently, and you could speak Hebrew and Arabic. And God's not pleased with you about that. Spend your time on reading and understanding the English that He translated for you. God is mentioned, and I don't know exactly, I think about 7.8 million times, God. On the, well, that's not true. 7,000 and about 888 times. That's a guess, so it's close. Mentioned in the King James Bible. The word Lord is about, I don't know, 3,000 to 4,000 times. Jehovah's in there once. I think it's in there once. But as Richard and I have talked before, there's so many, how many? 6,000 Jehovah Jireh's? Not Jehovah Jireh, but Jehovah. The God of peace. The God of love. The God of this. That's not what the Bible says. It says God. It didn't say Jehovah this, Jehovah that. And you don't even need to get it in your mind. You ought to know what God stands for. It's written in English for a reason. That we, not the Jews, the reason it's written in English because we would take it to the entire world. And that's what the Lord wanted. Rama, I guess he's fluent in Hebrew and Greek. You see where he's at? My God, what a loss. What a loss of intelligence. He's a brilliant man. But he teaches so much garbage, it's unreal. And you get my sense of it. But he does. It's pathetic. You know, these guys go out there and they have debates. You're not supposed to debate the Word of God. That causes divisions and that causes animosity toward each other.
Yeah.
You're supposed to share the Word. Talk about the Word.
I was trying to share with a gay girl that she don't have to go to hell. You know, because all she got to do is trust in Christ and she can go to heaven. But there's another friend that got on me and told me I was wrong for trying to tell her that. I said, no, that's my job, to share with people how to be saved.
It is, and it's your job to, you know, if you don't have any of the church's business cards, get you some. I got plenty of them. I've got about 4,000 up here. I've got leaflets that you can pass out, cards, to have people to come to this church. You know, and I'm guilty as you are. I'm not out there every day passing cards out, but I usually carry some on me and I'll pass one out. We don't do enough. Y'all don't do enough.
Yeah.
And I surely don't do enough. But that's, I would just, like I say, I was shaving and I was thinking about the about that. And I'm thinking, what a wonderful Bible we have, written in English where I can understand it. And it's been translated already. Oh, man. Because we don't even know what to translate. We don't even know to take the words of James Strong right. Because there's some mistakes in that book. So, but I guarantee you there ain't a mistake in the King James Bible. You believe there's a mistake in it? If there's a mistake, then we're all going to hell.
A couple of weeks ago, I was at a family reunion meeting. And I was telling all my people, I said, I know I'm going to heaven. I want y'all to go with me. So I want to tell you how to be saved.
That's right, man.
And I like told him, I said, follow the doctrine of Paul and you will be saved. I said, and Paul's doctrine is that you trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know? And one guy is going to tell me, one of my cousins, he's going to argue with me. Because I told him, I said, I am a sinner. I admit that I'm a sinner. I said, we're all sinners. And because we are sinners, and we can't help for the sin, because we cannot live perfect, there was only one perfect being, and that was Jesus Christ. I said, he was our sacrificial lamb. That's why he died for our sins, you know. One guy told me that I was playing with God because I was telling him some of the things that I do. And he said, you playing with God, you know. I said, no, I'm not playing with God. I'm trying to tell you how to be saved. I am saved by whatever I do. However I live today, I'm still saved because I trust in Christ as my Savior. You couldn't understand that.
You really can't have any more truth than that right there.
Yeah.
That's it.
We're playing with God. We're playing ball with God. We're playing his hoops.
People want to know, what am I going to be judged on at the judgment seat of Christ?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good work. It won't burn.
I told him, I said, the reason I'm trying to prepare the word is that my job as a disciple of Christ. I've been saved. Now I'm trying to teach you how to be saved.
Keep it up. If
sometimes works, I better get busy.
If it comes down to works, I'm going to bust it open.
I'm going to have to work very hard.
Well, we're going to cover some more of this. I didn't even get started. I just drew something up here, and we did a little bit. But I think next week I may show the difference. We talk about it all the time. But I may go into detail and show the difference between the earthly ministry and the heavenly ministry. The gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven versus the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of the uncircumcision, and actually give you scriptures so you can compare the two, so you can show people there's a difference in the scriptures between what Peter taught and what Paul taught. You know, there's no but. Well, y'all guys have a great